With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, if you guys like to cook outdoors, and you oughta, you should check out the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle. So this is a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned with food-safe oils and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge, reaching all the way up to 500 degrees. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate rust-resistant griddle.
The ups and the downs. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. That, of course, is Kyle Yates, and it's you. And today is all about the risers and the fallers. That's right, the stocks that are going up as we get closer and closer to NFL season, and the stocks that are taking a tumble, perhaps making for discounts. I don't know. We shall see. But there's one great person we could talk about all of that with. You know him, of course, as the late round QB over on the Twitter machine. You know him from Number Fire, FanDuel, and of course, the host of the award-winning late round podcast. He's the one, the only, JJ Zacharyson. JJ, it is so great to have you back again. Just a few weeks, it feels like we talked ago about some football stuff, and here we are, and we're getting closer and closer to the season. It's just so great to have you again. As we look at these draft boards that are just starting to go all over the place, especially after this weekend's news.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Really excited to chat again. I think we talked about some wide receivers last time, but today we get to talk about every position, so that should be fun.
It is, and I'll tell you what, speaking of fun, Yates, I gotta tell you, you know, we get so inundated with the NFL, we get overloaded, we get kind of, you know, just in our heads because this is that time of year. But I actually got to get out on the football field on Sunday with my daughter for her first flag football all-girl team practice. And let me tell you, they had the combine. It was great. She put up 220 like eight times. It was terrific. But no, it's seriously, like, they did all of the stuff. They ran through the drills. The kids were so happy, so excited to be there. And just kind of a reminder of, oh, yeah, this is the game. We love this. Let's get back to basics. So I'm kind of refreshed on Monday after flag football practice, Yates. So the question is, when does your son get to sign up? Because I can only imagine we're a couple years away now from that.
We still got a little bit. We still got a little bit before we're signing my son up for flag football. I actually think that he might be a hockey player first before flag football. He has shown a tremendous interest in hockey, which is a sport that I played growing up. So, yeah, super excited for when that happens. Get to be a hockey dad, lug around all the equipment. And, yeah, it's going to be a ton of fun.
There you go. JJ, you got any coaching duties ahead of you? I know this fall is going to be very busy for me coaching that team, but how about you?
Yeah, nothing in the short term, but my daughter is very, very into soccer. And then she just recently started playing, like, they had, like, at her daycare, they had like a little basketball thing going, and she was really interested in that. So we'll see. I don't know if she's not really, like, you know, she's more like 35th percentile height. I don't know if it's going to work out all that well, but we'll see what happens.
It's about 100 percentile will. That's what you need. Yes, that's all right. You need.
That's right.
All right. So before we get to all of the highs and lows, and also we're going to break down some of the clearly big news that happened over the weekend, I just want to remind everybody too that we've got only a couple of days left of our giveaway at fantasypros.com/contest. Once again, thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. All you got to do is leave a review of the show on Apple Podcasts or CastBox, screenshot that bad boy, Join us on YouTube, subscribe, get a 3x entry, and don't forget to click that little notifications button when you do, and you can win a Clyde Edwards-Helaire autographed jersey. It's not going to give away itself, and once you're entered the rest of the year, so go do it now, fantasypros.com/contest. We only have a few days left for the CEH helmet that is so cool. It's the black helmet with the red Chiefs logo, autographed by CEH. Again, thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. Also, don't forget, too, if you can't get enough Dan Harris, and obviously, if you're like me, you definitely can't, we have got a great show for you. It's the kickoff. It's 15 minutes of fantasy football every single morning when you wake up. There it is, thanks to Dan Harris. You can subscribe to that wherever you get your podcasts. Dan does a fantastic job of breaking things down, get you quick hits, get you ready to go, and it's a great way to get caught up in case you went to bed earlier, your kid's exhausted you, or whatever else is going on. But going back to that giveaway also, it's some really cool stuff. Again, that's fantasypros.com/giveaway. You could draft the perfect fantasy team, and if you think you can, that's exactly what we're looking to find out in the new Perfect Draft Challenge. So go over there, check it out, and see what you might be able to get, because let me tell you, there are some cool things we're doing here, and I told you we only had one day left of giving away that amazing Clyde Edwards-Helaire helmet on the contest. You can go get involved with that as well.
Here's the league's latest news.
Let's start, boys, at the headlines, though, and clearly a huge blow to fantasy football rosters for those who drafted early is J.K. Dobbins out for the year with a torn ACL. And this sucks. I mean, we hate when great players get hurt, players that we really are excited about seeing, especially the young players too, because they're just starting to scratch the surface of their potential. So Dobbins now out for the year. The Gus bus is fired up. It's fueled up. It's ready now. We've also got Tyson Williams in that Ravens backfield too. So JJ, take me through already, you know, your thoughts on Gus Edwards and what your expectations are. Can he fill at least 80, maybe even 90% of the shoes of what J.K. Dobbins was earmarked for in fantasy?
Yeah, so, you know, this is the backfield where we would see multiple guys emerge or be fantasy relevant more than almost any other backfield in the league. I mean, you could look at, like, San Francisco. It's a similar situation, but you know, part of the reason why, you know, I thought that Gus Edwards was a decent pick regardless, you know, even before this injury, was because of the fact that if you look, since Greg Roman's become offensive coordinator, if you look at the way they've utilized their lead back in this offense, it's been at the lowest point across the entire league when looking at snap rate, when looking at percentage of running back carries, when looking at backfield share, however you really look at it, they split their backfield more than any other backfield in the league. And so Gus Edwards was going to have a role, you know, regardless in this offense. And now I think Tyson Williams is probably that guy to be the Gus Edwards now. And then Gus Edwards would slide into that J.K. Dobbins role. Now, I'm not trying to sell Gus Edwards as a better running back than J.K. Dobbins or as good of a running back as J.K. Dobbins, but I think that he's a fairly serviceable guy who can step in, more than serviceable, that's not even really fair to say, who can step in and be sort of their 1A in that offense and be, you know, like have a pretty strong season. You know, we've seen him be incredibly efficient in that backfield over the last couple of years since Lamar Jackson took over. No team has a higher yards per carry rate at the running back position than the Baltimore Ravens do. And you know, it's because of the system, it's because of Lamar Jackson being back there, et cetera, et cetera. That's not going to change. So, you know, Gus Edwards should still be pretty efficient. And then the one thing that we have to remind ourselves when we're ranking these guys and looking at projections and such, you know, with J.K. Dobbins, his main competition in that backfield was Gus Edwards, and Gus Edwards is a better running back than Tyson Williams is. And so when we look at this now, I actually have Gus Edwards not quite where I had J.K. Dobbins. I wasn't overly high on Dobbins for the receiving work and such, which, you know, that's a different discussion, but the way that I look at Edwards is that he's not that much worse for me from a projections and from a ranking standpoint than Dobbins was, because his competition isn't as strong as what Dobbins had before Dobbins went down. So, you know, keep that in mind as you're drafting as well. I think right now I have Edwards at like RB21, RB22, or something around that range. And so, you know, I think that he's a solid enough RB2. Just depends on where in your particular league he ends up going. I think if you can get him in the late fifth or something, that's totally fine.
There's been some rumors about them talking to Todd Gurley again, potentially. Ugh, don't care for that. But Yates, Is Tyson Williams somebody that if you're in a deeper league, you should be looking to pick up in this first waiver run that's running?
Yeah, absolutely. In a deeper league, you should be looking his way. Now, we know very little about Tyson Williams, so we don't know what exactly he's going to bring. You know, with Gus Edwards, we knew who he was. We knew that he was incredibly efficient. Over the last three seasons, 5.2 yards per carry, 5.3 yards per carry, 5 yards per carry. He's incredibly efficient with, granted, a smaller workload, right? 137 rush attempts to 144 each of the past three seasons. So now he's going to get more than that. Obviously, Gus Edwards is someone that I think falls into this range of RB19 to RB22 in that, you know, mid-range to low-end RB2 that you know what you're going to get. But the benefit with J.K. and why I have him a little bit lower than J.K. Dobbins is not just because of the talent level. J.K. Dobbins is supreme talent, but it was the upside that J.K. Dobbins presented with the rumors and the buzz that he was going to become more involved in the receiving game. Gus Edwards is not going to be that player. He's not going to get targets out of the backfield. So with Edwards, he's kind of one of these guys that's just extremely safe. But Dobbins was a little bit higher in rankings because he's had the upside. We knew that he had the safe floor, but then he had the upside if he did become more involved in the receiving game. Gus Edwards, we just know that that's not going to happen. So Edwards, RB19 for me. And then with Tyson Williams, he landed at RB45. So he's one of those guys that you can draft in a, you know, as a low end flex option, you know, because I do think that he's going to have a role, you know, with how much the Ravens run the football. It can't all go to Lamar Jackson and Gus Edwards. Someone else has to be involved for right now. If they bring in someone else, then we'll adjust and we'll talk about that when it happens. But Williams does seem to have jumped Justice Hill here as the RB2 in Baltimore.
Irv Smith is going to be out for the start of the season. T.Y. Hilton also going to miss multiple weeks with a neck injury. Irv Smith has a knee issue with the MCL there. Yates, I know these are two players that you probably don't have on a lot of teams from all of the shows we've done together. I can't imagine a lot of T.Y. and a lot of Irv Smith on Yates clubs. But I think in a way, you know, you've been on that Pittman trail for so long. Is this another reason where you're excited about potentially getting Michael Pittman Jr. on a lot of rosters? Because here we are yet again where T.Y. is going to miss some time. And it seems like his body's really starting to, you know, decline here in this latter part of his career.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Pittman was a value even before the T.Y. Hilton injury news, right? He's going around wide receiver 50 in ADP. That is ridiculously low for a talent like Michael Pittman Jr. And that the path that he had to be a wide receiver one, the wide receiver one in this offense, right? You had an aging T.Y. Hilton who does have some injury concerns, right? That was always kind of baked in. Now, this is a bit of a fluke injury. It's not like it's a reoccurring thing. It's something with his neck. So, but that is something that we had to take into account with T.Y. Hilton. And then Paris Campbell, he's got his own lengthy injury history. It doesn't even seem like he's going to be guaranteed a like starting role on this offense. And then you've got Zach Pascal, who's kind of just like a guy in this offense. Pittman was going to see 100 plus targets in this offense guaranteed. And now that you have Carson Wentz coming back, most likely to start week one, it's wheels up for Michael Pittman Jr. It always was wheels up. Now it's even more so the case. So Pittman here, I've got at wide receiver 39 on the season. He's a guy that you can draft really late and get a tremendous value. I would be fine rolling him out as a wide receiver 3 in week one. He's got Seattle in week one. So definitely think that you can draft Michael Pittman Jr. and plug him into your lineup right away.
JJ, any thoughts on Irv Smith or T.Y. Hilton and this news and the repercussions?
No, I mean, I would agree in totality with the Michael Pittman stuff. The one thing that I would say that's unfortunate is that let's hope that his ADP doesn't rise as a result right. of T.Y. Hilton getting banged up, because I'm with you that he's a really good pick this year. I mean, I did this study. I think I referenced it the last time we talked on finding breakout wide receivers in fantasy football. Michael Pittman fits so much of the criteria that I look for in breakout wide receivers. He's a second year guy. He's part of an ambiguous wide receiver group there in Indianapolis. From an ADP perspective, he's the first pass catcher being drafted from the Colts. Those things have been predictive in the past. And so I'm very, very into Michael Pittman. I hope his ADP doesn't rise as a result of this. I don't think it necessarily will, because there's still a lot of good wide receivers sort of being drafted in that range that people are going to probably latch onto. But I'm with you. He's one of my highest rostered guys this year.
All right, speaking of risers, let's get to it. Let's talk about the risers and fallers this draft season. And we're going to try to really base this, you know, off obviously the guys' personal rankings, but also the trends of what's going on. And some of those trends are about health too, so keep that in mind as we go through. JJ, let's start with you. Let's talk about one of the running backs that you have moved up so far in the last few weeks based on what you've seen, heard, or maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go with Saquon Barkley. You know, I understand all the concerns around Saquon. There's a lot. You know, the offensive line isn't great. The situation in general in New York isn't great. You know, he hasn't been healthy. He's coming off that injury. But we did see him play. You know, he is now healthier. And now, we're looking at a player who is one of the true bell cow. Few running backs in the league have the kind of volume upside that Saquon Barkley does. You can push situation aside. Like, don't ignore situation, of course, when you're looking at these backs. But the number one thing, the number one aspect that we should be looking for in any player in fantasy football is straight up volume. And we've seen Saquon in the past thrive and do fine in fantasy football. I'm not talking about real football. I think that you could poke holes in the Saquon Barkley running back ability in real football all day long. You really could. But from a fantasy football standpoint, he's projected to see a 15%+ target share in that offense, especially with Kenny Galladay banged up. He's expected to see a massive, massive chunk of that backfield share. And so that volume alone should catapult him higher than where he's being drafted right now. And because of the health stuff and because of the fact that things are trending up there, I was always a little bit optimistic about that aspect of things, just given, who I listen to on Twitter from a doctor standpoint and whatnot. But at this point, the fact that we're seeing even more from the team and positive feelings towards Saquon from the team, I feel a little bit more bullish on him as well. So look, I'm not drafting him ahead of the top five running backs. I think that if you want to get a Zeke, Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey over him, that's fine. But I do think that you should start thinking about Saquon Barkley at that RB6 spot because the volume upside is totally there.
That was actually going to be my question to you. Would you take him over Zeke? Because as you're talking about him, he has that opportunity at least to finish maybe one or two overall. I don't know if Zeke has that. Is that worth the lottery pick?
I'm still going Zeke because, Zeke still has a lot of work coming his way, more than likely. I understand the argument against Zeke, given how he performed last year, but you have a way healthier offensive line. Dak Prescott is back. When Dak Prescott was healthy last year, Zeke was a top five running back in fantasy football. I'm not that concerned about Zeke. He's been a pretty frequent target of mine when he falls in the middle of the first round. With that being said, I do think that right after Zeke goes, that's where you should really be starting to think about Saquon Barkley. Just because, depending on your format, etc., like I'll be going Devontae Adams. I might even go Travis Kelce or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I do think that there's an easy argument to be made that Saquon Barkley should be the RB6 because there aren't many running backs that are truly in line for the kind of work that Saquon Barkley could and probably will see this season.
All right, Yates, let's go to you. And who is a running back that you have been moving up your board?
Well, obviously, with the Travis Etienne news, James Robinson comes flying up boards. And I wanted to highlight him here because he was one of the guys that I just could not find the guaranteed role, right? I knew that he was going to be on the field, but as far as to return value on where he was being drafted, James Robinson was one of these guys that I was a big believer in Travis Etienne and what he could do on the football field, particularly as a receiver. Once you do projections here for the Jacksonville Jaguars offense and you look at the work that James Robinson is going to get on the ground, right? And then you've got Carlos Hyde. He'll play a role, of course. He'll see some carries here or there. But James Robinson is going to be the majority leader here as far as carries on the ground. And then also, where are the targets going to go, right? Like, it can't all go to Marvin Jones, to DJ Chark, to Laviska Shenault. There's going to be targets available over that area of the field where the tight end and the running back occupy. There's no tight end in this offense. It's James O'Shaughnessy. Like, he's not going to take away significant targets here. So James Robinson could easily see the amount of targets that he saw last year or even more than that. So James Robinson is one of these guys that I was down on to begin. But as far as once the Travis Etienne news happened, he was someone that came flying up my boards. I've got him at RB18 on the year right now. So he's one of those guys that you can draft as a mid-range running back to. You know what you're going to get. And he produced last year in an absolutely terrible offense. Trevor Lawrence is looking great. I think this offense is going to be much better than what we saw last year, obviously. So that if that is the case, James Robinson's scoring opportunities are absolutely going to be there.
All right. Before we get to another rising running back, let's tell you about Dynasty Owner. If you've been looking for a new challenge this year, there's a new fantasy platform called Dynasty Owner that unites the fun and excitement of fantasy football with the skill and strategy of the front office. Dynasty Owner is the only way to play fantasy football with the real NFL salary cap. Adding in the strategy of running an actual NFL franchise, Dynasty Owner provides a unique challenge for diehard fantasy football fanatics that want the real GM experience. Go to DynastyOwner.com. New leagues are forming now. That's DynastyOwner.com. We've all been in a league where the winner just got lucky, and if you're like JJ and Yates and you think you're better than most, Dynasty Owner gives you the platform to prove it. Dynasty Owner favors skilled players who can manage their roster using NFL salaries within the cap, and it's an entirely new level of strategy added to the game. Go to DynastyOwner.com to validate your fantasy football skills. That's DynastyOwner.com. JJ, let's get to another running back of yours who is rising up your ranks.
I'm going to go Javonte Williams here. You know, I was always high on Williams, you know, through the draft process. I mean, I thought that he was just as good from as a prospect as Najee Harris and Travis Etienne, where my prospect model, which is all analytical, it liked Javonte Williams just as much as those guys pre-draft. Now, post-draft, when you input draft capital, first round draft picks are gonna jump ahead of him, obviously. But there's just a lot to like about him as a player. He's a great pass protector. Number one, he can catch passes out of the backfield despite his size, being somewhat of a bruiser. You know, Pro Football Focus recorded him as having the most broken tackles per attempt that they've ever seen. And they've been doing this for about 5, 6, 7 years or something like that now. And so, I mean, he's a very, very good running back, a very good prospect. But, you know, over throughout July and into August, what we heard from Beats out of Denver was that Melvin Gordon was probably going to be the 1A in that backfield. And slowly we've seen not only Javonte Williams look really good, but then we see this last preseason game, they wanted to get Melvin Gordon some reps with the first team, and Javonte Williams was a healthy scratch. And so I'm just intrigued by that whole situation. And with these other injuries happening to running backs, he's just naturally sort of moving on my draft board. I would say he hasn't necessarily, because I was already high on him to start the offseason compared to the consensus. And I still am high. I'm just feeling even better about his situation and about the kind of work that he might see, not only right away, but I think during the second half of the season. I wouldn't be shocked at all if Javonte Williams is a top 10 running back in fantasy football.
To me, he's my ideal if I can get that third running back, that top of the RB3 class. Have you already cracked the RB2 class with Williams already in your rankings?
Yeah, so I mean, I think that Williams, so right now I have Williams at RB21 in my rankings. Okay. And so it's a little bit higher than where others have him. I'm cool with going with a running back in, let's say, the first round, maybe even the second round, going with a bunch of wide receivers in between, and then getting Javonte Williams as your RB2, because you're still going to get some production from him more than likely to start the season. And then eventually, you know, if things go as planned, he'll just sort of take over that backfield naturally over Melvin Gordon. So I'm just high on Williams as a player, and I think that he has a real opportunity to not just, you know, I shouldn't say he's going to be a surprise player necessarily, because I think a lot of people know who he is and understand his abilities, but I just have a very, very positive outlook towards him and in the way that I'm viewing him this season.
Don't discount that. There's a lot of casual leagues out there where people don't watch college football and they don't pay attention to preseason. There might be a lot more opportunity for everybody out there listening to get Javonte Williams than you might think, especially because he didn't get the same publicity that Najee Harris got going into the draft, and obviously Travis Etienne got as well. Yates, who's getting a lot of publicity for you that you started to move up your running back ranks?
Yeah, let's go to New Orleans. Let's go with the potential RB2 here in Tony Jones Jr. He's one of these guys. We didn't get to see what the third preseason game would look like here for the New Orleans Saints after they had to cancel the game against Arizona Cardinals due to the hurricane, and prayers up for everyone who's dealing with that situation right now. But Tony Jones, he's one of these guys that has just emerged, and he is playing his way into a significant role here. You've got Devontae Freeman on this roster, who they brought in free agency, but then the big wild card here is Latavius Murray. Do the New Orleans Saints move on from Latavius Murray? If they do, there is going to be a guaranteed role here for Tony Jones Jr. to step in as the RB2 and absolutely be fantasy football relevant. Like, be relevant for fantasy football. There's absolutely that path here. So we know next to nothing about Tony Jones Jr. and who he is, what he can do. He's looked great in the preseason and has apparently been lighting it up at training camp. But he's one of these guys that if you can stash on the bottom of your roster here, as cuts are being made here today and tomorrow, and then we get news that he made the 53-man roster and Latavius Murray is the odd man out here, then Tony Jones Jr. absolutely comes flying up rankings, potentially even into the low-end RB3 conversation because of just the workload that he could see here as the RB2 behind Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, it would be fascinating to see, too, if Murray does get cut, if maybe Baltimore, that's another running back, maybe they start looking at to continue to build that running back depth back up after losing Dobbins. All right, so those are the risers. That's great. That's good news. That's positive. Let's be negative right now. Let's be realistic. Let's talk about some players. For whatever reason, JJ, you are moving down at running back. So give me the running back you've been moving down and why.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a lot of situations out there where we might feel fairly confident that it's going to go down a certain way, but then the preseason sort of solidifies that in some way, right? And I sort of feel that way about Myles Gaskin right now. You know, I don't think that he's a bad player by any means, but I do, you know, as much as I don't want this to sort of overshadow my evaluation about players, I do think that there's something to be said, the fact that there's not really an investment being made in Myles Gaskin right now in Miami. It's not like they, you know, there were rumors, for instance, they wanted to get Javonte Williams, but then they got jumped in the draft and they weren't able to get Javonte Williams. You know, that investment is a lot different than a seventh round Myles Gaskin. So, you know, that's one reason why, you know, I'm just generally not, because at the end of the day, running back work is driven by a coach putting that guy on the field, whereas a wide receiver, for instance, needs to get open in order to earn that target, right? So if we're going to see a split backfield, which, you know, there are a lot of indications that we will, we saw Malcolm Brown that one preseason game against Chicago where Malcolm Brown was just on the field as like their workhorse, yeah, essentially, throughout that game. I know that we've seen that change a little bit throughout the preseason. But even still, you know, Malcolm Brown's someone who's a lot bigger body than Myles Gaskin is. I could easily see him taking on that goal line work, even if he's not as effective at doing so, and seeing short yardage work as well. And even maybe even see some receiving work too, because he's a good pass protector, and teams just like that kind of player, the kind of player that Malcolm Brown is. You know, is Myles Gaskin special? I don't know if he's that special. I mean, a really good reason that you could look at this even just more numbers driven is the fact that when Myles Gaskin was out last year, Savon Ahmed stepped in and he was a really effective running back in fantasy football. It's not like Myles Gaskin was doing something so special that another backup couldn't replicate, right? And so there's just a lot of reasons why, you know, I'm not looking at Gaskin as an RB2 like some were, especially earlier in August, late in July. I see him more as an RB3 in this committee. And look, I target ambiguous backfields all the time in fantasy football. I just think that this is one where, yes, he could emerge. There's definitely that outcome and that possibility. But just given what everyone's saying and what we've even seen in the preseason, I'm just not sure that's going to happen.
All right. You know, Gaskin for me is a player that I think has ebbed and flowed in my rankings more than any other running back, yeah, potentially. And it was basically going into the year, I felt okay about him. And then after that first game, like you said, with Malcolm Brown, all of a sudden I was like, oh no, this is definitely going in the wrong direction. And then he had that good game and bounced back. But Yates, what about you with Myles Gaskin? I want to get your take on this player too, because this is a very divisive one. And I think we should get as many opinions on this one as we can.
I'm still in on Myles Gaskin. I've got him at RB22 in my rankings. So I think that Gaskin is one of these guys that you might not have to draft him there, but I do think that he is going to see plenty of work, particularly as a receiver. We might see Malcolm Brown at the goal line. We might see Savon Ahmed rotate in, but Myles Gaskin, particularly as a receiver, is really good. He's a really good receiver and can pick up yards after the catch. So Gaskin, I think, is one of these guys that, and it's less to do with like my comfort in Myles Gaskin and more to do with the fact that we've had so many significant running backs already exit rankings, right? And so once you get past the top 20, then you get into some really, really murky situations. And it's just kind of saying, like, I'm going to bet on the talent. I like Myles Gaskin coming out of Washington a couple of years ago. So I'm going to bet on my eyes and what I see as far as the most talented running back in that backfield getting on the field the majority of the time. And particularly as a receiver, I think that I've talked about with Tua, where he is going to be constantly just getting the ball out quick to whoever is open, right? So I think Jalen Waddle's going to feast. And then I think that we're going to see Myles Gaskin feast as a receiver out of the backfield too. So I'm not off Myles Gaskin. I think that he's still one of these guys that you can rely on as a low-end running back too. You might not have to draft him there because a lot of people are scared off, like you guys are saying. There's validity to what you guys are saying, absolutely. But I think that I'm still going to buy into the talent there.
As a three, I definitely like him. I also like how it sounded like you had to take a shot of whiskey before you were in on Gaskin. You're like, I'm still in. It's like you had two low pairs. You had like twos and fours. You're like, you know what? To heck with it. I'm out. Let's play some poker. Let's go. But look, as an RB3, I think you could do worse. That's for sure when it comes to Gaskin. All right. Let's talk about a running back that you are down on, Yates, right now in your rankings that you're starting to notch down for whatever reason.
It was really funny. At the beginning of the offseason, Dan Harris and I were talking about David Johnson, and we were like, we got David Johnson here at like RB34. You know, it's right in line with ECR, ADP. Am I going to be drafting David Johnson there? Absolutely not. It was one of those guys where, like, even though I have him here in my rankings, am I going to be investing at him at that price point? Absolutely not. And now that we've seen throughout the offseason, this is just a messy, messy situation. You got Philip Lindsay, who might be the first and second down back here, but then you got Mark Ingram also, and then David Johnson's now being relegated to a third down role. He might soak up targets here as a team that's going to be playing from behind a ton, but this offense is going to be absolutely terrible here this season. So David Johnson, no matter where he falls in the draft, I'm not taking David Johnson. I just can't get on board with it. He's one of these guys that I had at that point where he was in line with ADP. Once we got the news that he was relegated to a third down role specifically, then he came tumbling down my rankings. And he's even one of these guys that no matter where he falls in my draft, there's no upside. There's zero upside to drafting David Johnson this year.
I remember that conversation. And I remember immediately after that show thinking, they're 100% right. Why are we just settling here for this ranking of him just because we go, well, okay. And I think now over time we've realized, well, there's a lot better shots to take. And I think that is a perfect guy to move down because you don't want him on your roster, exactly as Yates is talking about. All right, let's talk about the wide receivers we want on our roster. But before we do, I want to tell you about DraftKings. Football's almost here, and there's no better place to get in on the action than with DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. As the season is quickly approaching, DraftKings is your one-stop shop to make it rain all season long. To bring you even closer to the action, DraftKings is giving all new players free shot at $1 million during week one. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, preseason is the perfect time to test your strategy. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching a game quite like having a free shot at huge cash prizes. And while you're perfecting your daily fantasy skills, don't forget to check out DraftKings free-to-play pools where there is even more cash up for grabs. Head over to the app now. So download DraftKings app right now. Use the code FANTASYPROS for a limited time. New players can get a free shot at $1 million during week one. Don't miss out on the action. Enter code FANTASYPROS to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code FANTASYPROS only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, let's move on to the wide receivers. So let's get positive again, JJ. Give me a wide receiver that you're moving up your rankings and why.
Yeah, it's always a lot easier talking positively about players than negatively, as you guys know. I'm gonna say Laviska Shenault is someone who's rising up my rankings right now. You know, the main reason for this, and I liked him more than the other Jacksonville wide receivers throughout the offseason. I should have that caveat, but the one thing that worried me a little bit is that I don't know how sharp Urban Meyer and this coaching staff is and how sharp they're going to be. So that's one thing. And Shenault's a player that has a very wide range of how you could utilize him as a player. You know, we know generally how Marvin Jones and DJ Chark will be used in an offense, whereas Laviska Shenault can be used as a traditional wide receiver, but he also has that Deebo Samuel to his game. And what we've seen throughout the preseason so far is that they're manufacturing touches to Laviska Shenault. We saw that a lot in their last preseason game, obviously. You know, I'm not taking, you know, what he did again. I mean, it was like a second string defense that he was facing, right. But even still, you know, he looked great and they were manufacturing those touches for Shenault. And I think to myself too, what if this Travis Etienne injury has something to do with that as well? You know, they were utilizing Etienne as sort of that like joker in the offense that, you know, Urban Meyer coming from that system at Ohio State where they utilized Curtis Samuel in that way. You know, this could be the role for Laviska Shenault. And we usually don't see those types of players do very well from a fantasy perspective and do that well at the NFL level. But, you know, I could see it being a bigger role than what we've seen traditionally from that Joker style, if you will. And so, you know, second year breakout wide receivers are very, very real. I think there's a lot pointing up for Laviska Shenault. So he's been bumped up in my rankings quite a bit over the preseason.
I couldn't agree with you more, man. This was a player I was actually a little lukewarm on until the ETN injury. And that ETN injury to me was the perfect opportunity and reason to bump him up in rankings. And for those who did not see, Trevor Lawrence looked very sharp in that game. That was by far his best preseason performance, so that is a good thing. I don't know how sharp Urban Meyer is either, boys, as JJ was pointing out there. He's a sharp football man. Don't want to take anything away from him. He's got a long, long, fantastic, many, many coaching accolades over his career, but this is the NFL. It is a different game. Yates, give me a wide receiver that you're moving up your rankings.
One of the guys that I had been moving down my rankings was Courtland Sutton. And one of these, you know, just the injury concerns, what is this situation going to look like? Is Jerry Jeudy going to be the 1A in this offense? Is he going to be the target leader? There were a lot of concerns with Courtland Sutton and just the brace in training camp. He didn't seem like he was up to full speed, didn't seem like he was trusting his body to go up and make those high point catches. And then we see him in the preseason game, in the third preseason game there for Denver. And he is looking fantastic. He looked like he absolutely trusts his leg. I have no concerns about it anymore. So he's one of those guys that I had dropped down, guys, all the way to wide receiver 35, just because I did not know how many games he was going to play. I didn't know if he was going to have a slow start to the season. And then also there's just the concerns of where do the targets go here with Teddy Bridgewater. I've moved him back up. I've got him one spot behind Jerry Jeudy here. So I think that he is still, I think Jeudy is going to be the guy that I want to roster here from Denver. But Courtland Sutton is one of the guys that I had major questions about. If he did not play in that third preseason game, he was probably going to stay around that wide receiver 35 range for me. He has moved back up since then.
All right, let's get to another guy who's flying up the wide receiver ranks. JJ, who's another guy that all of a sudden after the preseason is just about wrapping up that you are starting to like more and more on your fantasy rosters?
It's kind of hard to ignore Corey Davis's usage, isn't it? I mean, it's just, it's crazy, right? Like he's been targeted on over 75% of his routes run in the preseason. You know, I would say, you know, I'm a big Elijah Moore guy. I thought that he was a really good prospect. I think that he has like a Tyler Lockett type of range of outcomes or even closer to a median range of outcomes. Like he's that kind of player and he could be that explosive and good. And I do think that you can make the argument that Elijah Moore has a higher ceiling maybe versus Corey Davis here in year one. But I think when you're looking at the floor ceiling combo and the median outcome, et cetera, it just makes a lot more sense to go after a Corey Davis after this usage that we're seeing right now. And you know, he hasn't been bad throughout his NFL career. I feel like there's this idea that he was only good last year, but it's really just based on expectation. It's based on him coming out, being that high draft pick, and he was a great prospect too. I mean, this is there was a reason why he got drafted as high as he did. And so I think that he's just sort of been a someone who's blooming late in his NFL career. And I think he's a very solid wide receiver and someone that now all of a sudden, you know, before I was like, maybe I'll get Elijah Moore more often than Corey Davis. Now I'm more on Corey Davis from a redraft perspective, despite the fact that I really, really do like Elijah Moore too.
Well, earlier in his career, he was injured and he had bad quarterback play. When he was healthy last year and had good quarterback play, I think we saw what Corey Davis is capable of. And believe me, boys and girls, Yates likes to remind me every show we do that Corey Davis looks really good. There's not a moment that goes by in a show where if Yates has that opportunity. So, Yates, is Corey Davis another one of your guys that you're moving up? Or, I mean, geez, I can't imagine he's got any more room to move on your board.
Right. I had him up in the high 30 range this entire offseason. So, yeah, he's still in that range for me. This is just kind of validating what I thought could be the case. With Elijah Moore, you know, he's going to come back into this offense eventually, and he could siphon away some targets. Corey Davis is not going to see a target on 75%. Of the routes that he runs this year, but he's still going to be very, very effective here as the wide receiver one in this offense. So, you know, looking at the value point of where you can get him in drafts, I think his ADP is rising, right? As everyone kind of realizes what I've been projecting all offseason, but Corey Davis is the guy that, yeah, I definitely think is one of the guys that you definitely can draft and plug into your lineup, just like Michael Pittman Jr. as a wide receiver three right out of the gate.
And these are important names because if you do hit running back early and often, you're looking to make up ground at wide receiver. These are the names that are coming at a discount. We talked about Sutton. We talked about Davis. I mean, Michael Pittman. You can get these guys later, and if they play above their expectations, which obviously the three of us think that they can, that's a huge win for your fantasy roster and the construction of it, because if you take care of those running backs and they stay healthy and you do it early, all of a sudden they become a really, really tough roster on a weekly basis to beat. Yates, who's another wide receiver for you that's flying up the ranks?
One of the things that I love and hate about my job is player development.
I thought you were going to say me. Okay.
Well,
player development. That's fine. Yeah, let's talk about that.
Player development, where we can go into the offseason and we can analyze the situation and we can write off players, right? Because they did next to nothing with their opportunities in the past. However, with Marquez Callaway this year, he's one of the guys that has worked his butt off this offseason and is taking advantage of his opportunity. Marquez Callaway with Michael Thomas out for who knows how long Michael Thomas is going to be out. You've got Tre'Quan Smith, but he's also been kind of battling an injury throughout training camp. I still think he's going to be involved. But now that we know that this is Jameis Winston as the starting quarterback, we know that these guys have chemistry. We got the 2-touchdown performance from Jameis Winston and Marquez Callaway just in preseason game number 2. Callaway is absolutely taking advantage of his opportunity. So I love that Marquez Callaway, like the player development aspect of it, because he has taken his game to the next level. And that means that we're getting a fantastic football player on the field. I hate it because I didn't see this coming and I didn't warn people ahead of time, particularly from a dynasty aspect, to go get Marquez Callaway on their rosters. But there is still a value point here where I can say, draft Marquez Callaway. If you can get him as a wide receiver 4, a wide receiver 5, there is more than enough volume for him to return value, particularly through the first part of the season. And then who knows what happens when Michael Thomas comes back. We know that he hasn't exactly been fully healthy over the past couple seasons. We don't know if he's going to play the remainder of the season once he gets back. And Marquez Callaway might have just developed enough chemistry with Jameis Winston that he continues to be super involved in this offense. So Callaway is one of the guys that I did not see coming, but he has been, just like Tony Jones Jr., has been rising up my rankings because there is an opportunity in this offense.
And he's been buried still on a lot of rankings on host sites where you play.
Right.
So this is a great name to throw into the queue and just sit on it and sit on it and wait. And then when you need a wide receiver, pull the trigger on it. Right now, he is wide receiver 49 in terms of ADP over on Fantasy Pros and half PPR. Michael Thomas is 29. That is a 20 wide receiver difference, which is fascinating because, well, Yates, I'm not sold that Thomas ever plays for New Orleans again, period. And there's so much strain and so much unknown between the injuries and the circumstance. I look at that investment at 29 on Michael Thomas and I struggle with it. Whereas look at 49 on Callaway and I'm in for it.
Yeah, completely. I mean, you're looking at value points here. You're looking at least this is now an offense, right? Where we had with Taysom Hill, we had the concerns. Is this an offense that we want to invest in outside of Alvin Kamara, right? And that was something where it's like, you look at Adam Trautman, he's not fully stepping in, Traquan Smith dealing with injuries, stuff like that. There's opportunity now. This is an offense that you want to get pieces of because of Jameis Winston and the play calling of Sean Payton. So if you can get your hands on this offense with Marquez Callaway at a significant discount, I just did a biggest bust video for our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros. And Michael Thomas was on the list because he's still being drafted at wide receiver 29. Makes zero sense to me. So Marquez Callaway, if you want, it's kind of like what we've talked about, Joe, with the Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, where they're going in drafts. I want the value point. I want pieces of this offense. I'll take the value point with Antonio Brown down the board. That is kind of the same thing here with Marquez Callaway.
JJ, I want to pick your brain on this. At wide receiver 48 is Pittman Jr. I think we all know everyone's feelings on that one. Callaway's at 49. Then after that, you've got Mecole Hardman, Darnell Mooney, Ruggs, Marvin Jones Jr. How do you kind of see this grouping? I'm a big Mooney guy, but would you take Callaway over Mooney at this stage?
Yeah, I mean, I like Mooney too. I just have concerns over that offense and the rookie quarterback throwing him the ball and just what data has said historically about that. And so if you want to use that as a tiebreaker, that's why I might just go with a Callaway and just shoot for that upside. Especially, you know, I'm trying to get off to a good start with my fantasy rosters, and that's what you can do with a player like Marquez Callaway, because we know that Michael Thomas isn't going to come back, at least in the early parts of the season. The one pain point I have with Callaway is Jacoby Myers. Who I think is, you know, very locked into a 20 to 25% target share in that offense. He doesn't have the potential for an alpha to come back midseason. Whether we think that's going to happen or not, it's still a possibility with Michael Thomas. And so that's why it's sort of been split for me in that area of drafts where, you know, I'll just opt for a guy like Myers or, you know, some drafts, and then other drafts I'll go for a guy like Callaway. But I'm with you. You know, I think from an evaluation standpoint, this can just happen sometimes where you're down on a player based on X, Y, and Z. You see that player perform and perform well, and you adjust based on new information. I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's good as an analyst too, Kyle, that you're able to do that, because way too often we see take lock, and that really shouldn't be happening.
Take lock. I like that. And we actually talked about that last week, didn't we? It's about adjusting. A better analyst always adjusts for what's going on and saying, well, maybe I didn't like this player in this circumstance, but now I've got to embrace it and I've got to figure out a better way, because now things are being revealed the preseason and in practice and from the beat reporters that you have to kind of reprogram your brain. So I also love all the stuff about Jacoby Myers, another guy you could throw into that wide receiver pool late that you can get. I've got a ton of shares, and JJ just made me feel really good about all of them. All right, let's take a quick break before we get to the wide receivers on the downtrend and talk about your best defense for the unexpected. And you have to ask yourself, are you prepared if the unthinkable happens? If a medical emergency arises, Air Medcare Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. And we join today. You never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind. Memberships cost as little as $85 a year with your entire household. And right now at Fantasy Pros, as a listener of ours, you'll get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. So visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code FANTASYPROS. Because no matter where you are in the game of life, an Air Medcare Network membership is a protection no one should live without. So who's a wide receiver, JJ, that you want to live without this year?
Man, that was a very good transition, by
this
the
is
way.
What I, this is what I do.
I know it's not the segue. Easiest thing in the world to do that. That's very, very impressive. I'm going to go with Ja'Marr Chase here. And it's tough to say this because I think he's an incredible prospect. You know, my model had him as like the eighth best wide receiver that it's seen since 2006. I can go on and on about why Ja'Marr Chase is good. And I'm not even saying this from me, you know, moving him down rankings just because of drops. Like, that's not really my my main reason for this. I would expect him to sort of have a slow build up back into the game of football after not playing for a year and a half, right? Like, this shouldn't be the most shocking thing in the world. But I think what it does show you, if you watch him, he just seems very unsure of himself right now. And that, to me, you know, if I'm investing in that as my wide receiver two, when there's so much good talent being drafted around him, it's just not worth it to me. You know, I've had T. Higgins ahead of Ja'Marr Chase during the offseason here. But I think that gap is a lot bigger than it was, you know, just based on what we've seen during the month of August. And the odd thing too, though, is that I know everyone's sort of feeling this way about Ja'Marr Chase. And it's gotten to the point too, where if I do go with a wide receiver heavy draft, I'm still getting Ja'Marr Chase as like my wide receiver four, because that's the kind of way that you should be viewing him right now, in my opinion, where you know the upside is there, you know the potential is there, but you don't want to rely on him. And that's what really I've been seeing, you know, in August, is that I don't want to have to rely on Ja'Marr Chase, because here's the thing too, I don't think Cincinnati needs to rely on him right now, They don't need to make him their alpha right away in that offense. They have a great perimeter guy in T. Higgins. They have one of the best slot receivers in Tyler Boyd. They have Joe Mixon out of the backfield. There's a lot of reason as to why they don't even need to throw Ja'Marr Chase into the fire. And so because of that, I'll slow play it, and I'll play it like the Bengals should play it. And if I'm going to get Ja'Marr Chase, it's going to be more as a wide receiver four, because I went wide receiver heavy, as opposed to going with a typical draft or a running back heavy draft and having Ja'Marr Chase as my wide receiver two. I would not want him as my wide receiver two.
I think I heard this morning that over 120 plus targets in college, the last time he played, he had only 5 drops. So this is mental. This is not all of a sudden a guy who forgot to play the position. This is a guy that is just kind of finding himself again in the game and in real game action too. I mean, that's also something. He hasn't been in real game action with the crowd and what's going on, and at the NFL pace and speed. So it's going to be a little bit of a transition, but I'm with you 100%. The relative value of Chase right now compared to the other receivers, I don't see that moving necessarily the needle. So I'm with you 100%. As a wide receiver three with upside, maybe you got me. But as a two, more questions and answers. Who's a wide receiver for you, Yates, that has more questions and answers that you've been ticking down for a certain reason?
Chase was definitely on my list. So for a lot of the reasons that JJ mentioned, this is just one of these guys that I just can't rely on as a wide receiver too. I happen to have him as a wide receiver too on the Sleeper Bowl team, which I am not excited about, but that's the way the draft fell. So I will go with another guy. That's Kenny Golladay. Golladay here, we just have not seen on the field. We don't even know what he is going to be as far as chemistry with Daniel Jones. The reports that we did see or that they weren't clicking, and now he's been off the field for, I mean, who knows how long, 3 weeks, 4 weeks now? Well, we haven't even seen him on the training camp field. We didn't see him at all in the preseason. This offense did not look good. So I think in the preseason, this is just a situation that with the New York Giants, I just might be, outside of Saquon Barkley, I might be all hands off, because this is just a muddy situation. You've got so many mouths here to feed, and none of them are healthy right now. So we don't know which one's going to come back and first and which one's going to dominate target share. It's just a weird situation, man. Kenny Golladay still going at wide receiver 24 last time I checked in ADP consensus. As a low-end wide receiver too, I just cannot get on board with him.
Plus, Evan Engram and Darius Slayton left those games on Sunday with injuries as well. So, yeah, I'm with you. Barkley or bust when it comes to the Giants. I'm not really too into that. All right, let's switch gears and talk about the quarterbacks. JJ, who's a quarterback? And it can be a deeper one too. It could be a super flex quarterback or even a guy in the QB1 discussion that you are moving up your rankings after the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, I'm moving Tua up because he's looked very good. You know, the other thing, I think I talked about this the last time I talked to you guys, but I just really like the pass catchers that they put around Tua because he's not a guy that throws into tight windows. I know his numbers last year show that he is that guy, but you have to look at the personnel that he was throwing to, and they're not separators, those pass catchers. And that's why, you know, like, I'm lower on a Devontae Parker than a lot of people, because I think Parker works better with a Ryan Fitzpatrick type than he does a Tua type. So now you get Jalen Waddle, great separator. You have Will Fuller when he gets back. He's a good separator. And so I'm intrigued by not only how he's been performing in the preseason, but then the weapons that you're also giving him. And then here's the other reason why I bought into him more in drafts is because his ADP has pretty much remained the same, while other guys like the rookies that I've been drafting, you know, back in July, it was like, are you going to get Tua or are you going to get Trey Lance and Justin Fields? And I really like the rushing upside, obviously, of Lance and Fields. And so I was drafting the rookie quarterbacks more. Well, now those rookie quarterbacks have jumped Tua quite a bit in a lot of drafts. And so, you know, if I somehow miss out on those guys, I'm going with Tua and I'm getting Tua at quarterback, especially in like a super flex format where it's a lot easier to get a guy like that. Cause you know, he gets like New England in week one and you're like, do I really want to play Tua against New England in week one? Probably not. And there's also some mobility to Tua's game as well. So he's a riser for me for all those reasons. I think that he's looked really sharp in the preseason.
Yeah, I agree with you, especially towards these last 2 weeks there in Superflex. I'm much more comfortable having Tua on my roster than I was, say, in July going into training camp. How about you, Yates? Is there a quarterback that's on the rise for you?
Well, Trey Lance has been one of the guys that has been super high in my rankings.
I've never heard you talk about
him. Yeah, I know, really. But I will go with another rookie quarterback. That is Justin Fields. And the reasoning here for Justin Fields is not only that he has looked phenomenal in the preseason, right? He's looked fantastic and has been throwing to, you know, second string wide receivers and all that. We haven't even seen him on the field with guys like Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney. It has been that I think that he has looked so good and Andy Dalton has struggled that the gap of when we are going to see Justin Fields take over this offense is lessening. I think that by week 3 or 4, we could see Justin Fields on the field. And if that is the case, then he's got to rise up rankings because he has the potential to be a top 12 quarterback in points per game. Like, that is absolutely possible with Justin Fields' skill set and the receivers that he'll be throwing to here. So I think once he sees the field, he's one of these guys that if you can get as a second quarterback in one QB formats, you can stash him on your bench, you can wait. And then at week 3 or 4, even though I was projecting like week 8 or 9, I think is when they have their bye, that was when we were going to see Justin Fields. I think it could be sooner than that. If that's the case, he's got to rise up rankings.
Could not agree more. The timetable's definitely moved up. Could even be week 1 with the way that offensive line is played, especially with Aaron Donald there. He might crush Andy Dalton. You might have no choice.
That's bad.
Yeah.
But oh, I cannot wait to watch that. Not because I'm worried about Andy Dalton. I just like watching defense. For those of you who don't know, I do the IDP show here with Scott Bogman, and we love defense here. So yeah, Fields definitely exciting. Who starts first, Yates? Mac Jones or Justin Fields? See what I did there?
I still don't think that New England's going to start Mac Jones until after Tampa Bay. You cannot put Mac Jones on the same field as Tom Brady. So I'll say Justin Fields.
All right. JJ, you want to chime in or are you just going to stay away from that one?
I'll stay away from that one.
Smart man.
That one's difficult.
That's why he's got 100,000 Twitter followers. He knows when to back away from a dangerous conversation. All right, JJ, let's get to the quarterback that you're souring on a little bit, who's moving down your rankings recently.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of a cheap one, but I'm just going to go with Dak. And it's really because I viewed Dak in July before the injury, basically, as being, you know, in the same tier. And he still is to some degree as the rest of those QB1s, the elite QB1s. And, you know, I think that now it's very clear that you should probably have him around that QB5 range just because of that injury. Right. And so it has nothing to do with the ceiling, I think, for Dak. I mean, I've gotten a lot of Dak in drafts so far, but, you know, just the fact that it's there and it's a thing and the other quarterbacks in that range, you know, the Kyler, Lamar, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes don't have the same kind of issue. That just naturally to me puts Dak at QB5 when I think that you could at least make the argument a little bit that he would be ranked ahead of one of those guys, you know, before that injury actually happened.
All right. And how about you, Yates? Who is a quarterback that you are starting to push down the ranks on your board a little?
This is one of the guys that we had in as we went into the offseason. I was like, yeah, as a second quarterback in Superflex formats, they've made a ton of investments around him. I can see it. He's got some rushing mobility. I can see it as a low-end QB2 in Superflex. Nah, I'm completely off that train. It is the New York Giants quarterback, Daniel Jones. There is no, like, no matter where he falls in drafts, man, even in a Superflex format, I am just not taking Daniel Jones. I just cannot get on board with it.
It's very frustrating because there's moments where Daniel Jones has the clean pocket, looks really good, and then he gets down to the goal line area and he threw that horrendous interception there last night. And that's the reminder. It's the reminder of the mistake-prone Daniel Jones, that every time you think it looks good, the ending is what's so bad. And that, of course, limits the scoring, which is why Kenny Golladay and some of these other wide receivers become less appealing, because you're just taking away the opportunities. You only get a finite number of them every game to begin with. So these are some really important names. I hope everybody was taking notes over here. And of course, you can always subscribe to our YouTube channel to make sure you can watch the podcast as well. And make sure you do that. I want to thank JJ, as always, for his time. He's always so kind to us here, stepping in and helping out here when we were down some people here at Fantasy Pros today. And I just want to personally thank you. And of course, on behalf of our listeners as well, that you drop such good knowledge and good times here on the show as always. So JJ, I know you got a lot going on. So once again, just kind of tell everybody what's going on.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me as always. I'm on Twitter at LateRoundQB, and then I got my podcast, the Late Round Podcast, which you can find anywhere podcasts can be found.
There you go. Good stuff, man. Always appreciate you. Yates, I'm telling you, man. Mac Jones, week one. Let's go. It's going to happen. Let's go. Well,
I do not want that to happen.
I know
just
you
because
don't.
Of you. Like, just, you are going to be insufferable. Nope.
No,
on the
I'm
podcast.
Already insufferable. Well, that's everybody knows
if
that already.
If Mac Jones starts week one, I will never hear the end of
it. I guarantee you, when that happens, I will not say a word about it. Because
that makes
I've already
it even
said
worse.
It.
That makes it
I know.
Even worse.
I know. All right. Make sure you also give some love to our sponsors. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros. Again, use the code fantasypros in order to get that discount, because you never know when a medical emergency might arise. Also, have some fun. Go play some DraftKings. And when you do, of course, make sure you use our code fantasypros there as well to get a free shot at $1 million in prizes. So go download that DraftKings app today and get playing. $5 deposit is required there to start playing. And again, that code is fantasypros. And also, don't forget about Dynasty Owner. If you want to challenge yourself with a real salary cap playing real fantasy football, well, Dynasty Owner is what you've been looking for. Go to dynastyowner.com to get your game on today. And we have the contest at fantasypros.com. Fantasypros.com/contest. Only a few days left. Get in there for your CEH autographed helmet. And please subscribe to The Kickoff with Dan Harris. It means so much to him. You know, every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings. And every time Dan Harris gets a subscription to his podcast, he has a little bit of joy for about 30 seconds, and it all goes downhill again. So we need to build up the joy of Dan Harris a little bit, because we all know positivity is something he struggles with sometimes here on the show. Once again, I want to thank everybody for listening and watching wherever you do. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For JJ and Yates, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.